Some churches have this class, Roots and Wings, to orient new members to the congregation. And it helps folks who are new to our faith of Unitarian Universalism get a sense of what we're about. And at a recent Roots and Wings in my home church, the participants were given post-its with words on them, and they were to associate the words with religion or spirituality. Now, these two themes, you know, they had the ubiquitous easel paper. And the two themes were written, one on one side, religion, in a circle, and the other on the other side, spirituality. The participants were invited to place their post-its where they thought they went. By the end, the religion circle said, dogma, oppression, and institution. The spirituality circle, by contrast, said fruitful, liberatory, and deepening. That same week, last month, I was visiting a senior independent living community in our area where UU residents were waxing nostalgic for a time when they said that humanism held sway in our congregations, and there was not so much talk of spirituality. I can deal with the song Spirit of Life, one woman said to me, but that's as far as I think we should go. Spirituality is just code for superstition. Many beliefs, one faith. Ambivalence, even splits between groups of friends on the topics of spirituality and religion are part of what we deal with as Unitarian Universalists. In case you think I'm making this up, I spoke with a humanist woman at GA who was upset that a workshop had begun with a prayer because the prayer mentioned God. She felt excluded in that prayer. And I spoke with someone else who said she wished we did a better job of welcoming, integrating, and accepting Christian UUs and their spiritual practice. She felt excluded. But we have a desire for hospitality. We have a desire for welcoming and an ability to do that. But more even than the ability, we have a symbol that invites us, that admonishes us to integrate ourselves and our life together. And that symbol is here before us, the flaming chalice. So in thinking about these issues of spirituality and religion, I come back again and again to this symbol. It speaks to the heart as well as the mind, and speaks to us as individuals, as well as to our collective experience. Now, some of you may know that the chalice was first designed by Hans Deutsch, an Austrian artist, who worked with the Unitarian Service Committee during World War II. When he designed the image, he had never seen a Unitarian, much less a Universalist, church, or heard a sermon. But for him, the design was a beacon of hope in a world distorted by evil and despair, and was a symbol of those willing to risk their lives to carry that beacon into places of terror, violence, and injustice. But there is always more to a great work of art than the intent of the artist. The symbol sort of shifts and moves in our minds as we think about it, and there are other ways to engage it. Mythologically, the chalice is the symbol par excellence of water. Not just water in a cup, not just going to the bathroom for a glass of water, but all the archetypes that come from considering this classical element. Womb and birth, ocean and the beings therein, our dreams, our intuition. The chalice is the shape that gives form to water and to the images we associate with it. And the flame embodies fire with all its attendant associations, the sun, the hearth, both danger and healing, the flame by itself, even more than the teeming water of the chalice, speaks of both care and danger. So I have thought of the chalice and flame as a union of disparate elements. A friend of mine wrote a song that I'll refer to later, the words of which are, I am the union of opposites. I am the mystery. I am calling to you in your dreams. I am bringing you home to me. That union of opposites is very powerful. I also think about how we talk about the chalice and flame. And mostly in our congregations, we talk about the flame. The warmth of love and connection, the light of hope and truth, the spirit of life and of love, the divine spark of light within each of us. And while some of us may be uneasy with the word spirit, or worse, spirituality, I do understand the flame in our emblem as the flame of spirit that inhabits us and is beyond us. The first poem that I read, The Holy Longing, speaks to the danger and attraction of that flame. The desire for the light drives one mad until one is utterly consumed. In German, the word verbrannt, burnt to a cinder. The soul longs for the life of the spirit, for something all-consuming, something that utterly transforms us in a moment, changes us into something we cannot imagine or even see from our current position. It is, after all, the flame that of all the classical elements expresses passion. The flame is our passion for justice that Deutsch saw when he drew the image. The flame is our longing. The flame is all our seeking and yearning. The flame warms us and impels us, and it can burn us if we aren't careful. The lone activist burns out. The mystic becomes so distant from human society, she can no longer connect even with her family. The Hebrew prophets, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, arguably, lost their minds trying to convey the force and power of the word that came to them. In other biblical images, the fire is the unmediated presence of the divine, the blinding appearance of angels, the face of God Moses saw, which caused him to shine so the people could not look at him. It is the word which, when unsupported by community, threatens to combine with our own egotistical fantasies and bring destruction as well as life. How do we tell the flame-driven fantasies of our own egos from the fiery gaze of the goddess? The second poem, Water, begins to answer that question. If I were called to construct a religion, he says, I should make use of water. Water and its power to transform, move, shape, and buoy up is expressed in the chalice, or the cup, with the power to soothe, to calm, to wash and take away what we don't need. Water is the substance of our bodies. Water is what makes life happen. Water is where we live. Pure energy, raw spirit, if you will, could burn us. Unmediated. But community can sustain us, check our egos, and help us see the difference between the spiritual and the delusional. Furthermore, Larkin continues, I should raise in the east a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly, where light congregates endlessly. Where the flame comes from many places, many beliefs, many individuals, and joins together. The fire and the water. Larkin has filled the glass of water with sunlight, the chalice with fire. Our chalice is religious community, not a box, not a gem, not something closed and sealed forever, but something that holds up, sustains the life of the Spirit. It is the way that community, even board meetings, even RE planning, even practicing and practicing to play for liturgy. It is the way that all these things help us to hold our seeking and our yearning for spiritual connection. And let me be clear that by spiritual connection, I mean that profound sense of connectedness, awe in the face of the universe and her many powers, transcending wonder and love that lets us live out of our own deepest core. If the flame is that core, that essence, then the chalice is the company of others, the structures of what we hope become beloved community. If the flame is spirit, the chalice is religion. And we know that religion has perpetrated all kinds of bad stuff, all kinds of bad stuff. And some of us, well, we come to this place on Sunday, but we come here because we're not religious. We come here because we don't want to go to some other religion, at least when we first come. We say we're a movement, you use. A lot of us don't want to be called a denomination. We call sometimes our gatherings churches, and sometimes communities or congregations or fellowships or just UUs of Sterling. In part, some places, because of our discomfort or our dislike of being associated with a particular religion, or perhaps even religion at all. But our gatherings are religious. They happen in a matrix of culture, understanding, practices, values, and belief. And as we know, of course, religion need not insist on or even acknowledge a deity of any kind. But we are rather living in this matrix, this gathered community of faith, whether that faith is in sutras, biblical admonitions, human potential, the earth, the seven principles, or some combination. And so I can say this too. We are spiritual people, spirit-filled, spirit-led. We are on fire with the Spirit, which you might hear in other places about other people. But we seek that light, and we are on fire for justice. We are on fire for love, on fire for integrity. And many of us long for the soul-wrenching power of mystical communion, whether we feel able to admit that in our religious congregation or not. We want to grasp knowledge of the spark that lights each of us from the moment of our birth to the moment of our death and out through all eternity. Some of us are more comfortable swimming than in the middle of a flame, but some are the other way. I am the union of opposites. I am the mystery, she said. I am bringing you home to me. Home. Here in this place with these people. We live here together. We live in the intersection of religion and spirit where we are called to be gentle with each other and truly honor the diversity of our belief and practice. Truly honor it. Truly. Not just say we honor it or hope to honor it, but invite it and celebrate it and honor it. We are called to honor the ways the religious aspects of our life uphold the spiritual. Let neither overwhelm the other. Let the flames of our desires not burn ourselves or one another. And may the cup of community always be open and inviting, never covered over, never dampening the flame it nurtures and protects. Blessed be. and amen.